Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. Well, we are getting close to the end, but we're not quite there yet. I'm referring, of course, to the book of Malachi. We have been examining the final two verses of this book over the last several broadcasts, and we have been focusing primarily upon the prophecy of the coming of Elijah and the fulfillment of the prophecy as it is referred to in the New Testament, and the fulfillment is clearly stated in terms of John the Baptist. He's the one who fulfills this prophecy, and I think I have given sufficient time and attention to that question and to why I am convinced that that is the proper understanding of this text. However, that is not the entirety of what is found in these verses. And so we still have a couple of other things that we need to examine before we close out our study of this book and move into our next book study, which I will not yet announce, but I will tell you that it will be another Old Testament book. It will be another short Old Testament book, and I hope that it will also be profitable, as I believe our study of the book of Malachi has been. So with that in mind, we welcome you to the Wednesday, April 15 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. I remind you that we are dependent upon the gifts of radio listeners in order to continue this ministry. Well, in dealing with the last two verses of Malachi, the prophecy concerning Elijah being perhaps the most controversial elements of these verses, but in dealing with these final two verses, I framed them in terms of remedy for a wayward society, you may recall. How to recover a wayward society from spiritual decline. And I said the way to do that is, number one, a society must receive the messengers sent by God, and number two, a society must reform the institutions established by God. And I drew those thoughts, that conclusion, out of these two verses. Verse 5 of Malachi chapter 4 says, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." That's a messenger sent by God. And I broadened that application. This, of course, is one particular messenger sent by God before the coming of Jesus Christ, that messenger being John the Baptist. And the way to reform a wayward society is for them to receive the messenger sent by God. Many of the Jews of the first century did receive John the Baptist, and he was therefore successful in preparing the way for the coming of Messiah. He truly brought some degree of reformation, some degree of revival to the land of Israel in those days, and that was vitally important. And that's also what's important in our day. If a society such as the United States of America, is going to be turned around from its spiritual decline, it must be willing to receive the messenger sent by God. First and foremost, the Bible, the infallible messenger sent by God, recorded in this book we call the Bible. But secondly, those human messengers, fallible as they are, and by the way, the inspired authors of Scripture were also fallible men, but they were infallibly guided when they wrote what ended up being what ends up being placed in our Bible. The Bible itself declares that to be so. The Bible guarantees that to be so. And so, because we believe the Bible, we believe that that is exactly the case, that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit guided and guarded what they wrote so that it was at the same time the words of men and the words of God. As the words of men, it was the words of fallible men, sinful men, men who were not perfect, men who were men just like we are, but because it was at the same time the Word of the living God, then it was carefully shaped and edited, I guess you might say, and guarded and guided so that everything that they wrote that ends up in the Bible turns out to be infallible, turns out to be true, turns out to be without error. It is the Word of the living God. And again, that's because the Bible itself makes these claims. And you have to come down to the position that you either believe or deny what the Bible says about itself. If you won't accept what the Bible says about itself, of course, you have no basis to accept what the Bible says about anything. It really boils down then to your picking and choosing what you want to believe and what you want to reject, and you make yourself the final authority on these things. And so I find people who are willing to accept John 3:16, they like that, but they're not willing to accept John 14:6, they don't like that. Same book, Gospel of John, same author, the Apostle John. I like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. I like that. I accept that. I'll take that as the word of God. But then you come to John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus claimed absolute exclusivity. He is the only way to God. If you don't believe in Jesus, you can't be saved. If you don't come to God, the one true God, through the one he has sent, the ultimate messenger, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not willing to come through him, you cannot get to him now or in eternity. You are shut out. He's the only way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. But that, of course, is greatly rejected by many in our day who say, wait a minute, that leaves out sincere adherents of other faiths who are just as sincere, just as committed, just as enthusiastic about finding God and being rightly related to God as you Christians are, or as some of them would put it, as we Christians are, and you can't exclude them. I won't accept that statement. Why not? Because it can't be true. Why not? Because it doesn't conform with my way of thinking. Now we're getting down to it. And so you become the judge of the Bible. And as soon as that happens, you don't know anything for sure. Okay, you accept John 3:16 and reject John 14:6. How about someone else who accepts John 14:6 and rejects John 3:16? Who's to say that one is more correct than the other if you can't rely on all of it being true? But again, the Bible itself claims inspiration. It claims that these words are at the same time the words of men and the words of God. They are the words of men as they were breathed out from God through his chosen human messengers, and therefore they are the words of the living God. So back to the point, we're talking about if a society is going to be reformed, it has to be willing to receive the messengers sent by God. Number one, it needs to be willing to receive the divine messengers sent by God. Or maybe I should say, well, there's only one divine messenger sent by God, that's Jesus Christ. And he made the statement in John 14:6, It was Jesus who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It probably was Jesus who spoke the words of John 3:16, but that's not nearly as certain. That may have been the Apostle John who spoke those words or wrote those words. We're not sure where in that passage the interview with Nicodemus ended and the additional thoughts about that interview were picked up by the Apostle John. But if you believe that it's all the inspired Word of God and that the words of John, which are in the Bible, are as infallible as the words of Jesus, which are in the Bible, because that's what the Bible claims for itself, then you have no problem. You don't even have to know where the line is crossed in John chapter 3, where the words of Jesus to Nicodemus end and the words of John, the author of the gospel, begin. But if you don't accept that, then you're constantly weighing and deciding and evaluating, and I think this is the Word of God, and I think this is not. I think this is the words of Jesus, and I think these aren't. Okay, well, once again, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Well, I don't accept that as an authentic statement of Jesus. That's what John said he said, but I don't believe that John was correct. I don't believe Jesus would say something like that. And so on it goes. Ultimately, it just becomes totally subjective. Whatever you think, whatever your thoughts are, and ultimately what you're saying is, my thoughts are infallible. Or at least they are superior. My thoughts, my reasoning, my evaluation is superior to what is written in the Bible. The Bible doesn't judge my thoughts. I, through my thoughts, judge what the Bible says. And as I say, whenever you go that route, you have destroyed the Bible of anything that has any certain meaning, any ultimate authority. It's all gone when you go that route. There's nothing that you can depend upon, and you're part of the problem. What are we talking about? The way to reform a wayward society is to receive the messengers sent by God. Messenger number one, his son. Messengers number how many? The inspired authors of Scripture. And then finally, those messengers who are faithful to the Bible, who believe it is God's Word, who devote themselves to declaring and explaining what is written in the Bible, and deliver that to you as the Word of the living God. And you must receive those who do that faithfully, give them honor and respect, not ascribing to any of them infallibility, but give them the honor and respect which they deserve, and listen to what they say carefully, because if they are God's messengers sent to you and you reject them, you're in trouble. You have not received the messenger sent by God, and the Bible tells us that's the same as rejecting God himself. Jesus said, he who receives me receives you. He who does not receive you does not receive me. That's pretty alarming, isn't it? That's pretty serious. So you've got to accept the messenger sent by God, and I see that our time is out, but that's no problem, because unless the Lord comes first, we have tomorrow. So we'll come back tomorrow and talk about this some more. Please join me then. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.